It's time for the forecast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the forecast, a podcast like no other.
Just talking? Well, what's the show about? About nothing.
The Forecast, sponsored by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse is redefining how you view real estate by eliminating the typical commission structure of 6 or 7% to sell your home.
List your home for $2,495 plus 3% and still get full service.
Check out charterhouseiowa.com to learn more.
There's only one thing I value in this world, Stephen, and that's loyalty. And without it, you're nothing. You have no one. It's the only currency you can count on.
Now, please welcome your hosts, Mark Charter and Chris Williams.
Sit down.
I think you may have something here.
Happy Thursday. We've got a new podcast here. We're at the Charterhouse Real Estate offices.
We back.
We are back. My apologies on last week. That was all me. Mark was fresh off of the Vegas trip, and I'm sure he had stories to tell, which he can still tell. I did get some interesting photos from the group throughout the trip.
Allegedly.
No, I have the photos.
No, they were allegedly interesting. That's what I meant.
I'm just kidding, because I know your wife listens to this. It wasn't anything bad.
So now
it wasn't anything that bad.
Well, no, and I fill her in on what's going on. She knows.
Why do you do that? It's part of the fun. Like,
so I keep going back.
Hiding things from your wife.
That just doesn't work well. I've tried that in my life. It doesn't work well, dude. No, she likes to be in the know. But no, we had fun. I think the highlight of my trip, by the way, was this. People know how much I love this that listen to the podcast.
The milk.
I'm sitting there playing craps.
I saw that picture too.
And the waitress arrives with a glass of milk. That was compliment.
What kind of milk was it?
It was 2%? Whole.
Whole milk.
Oh my God, it was good, dude. I guarantee I was the only one in the casino drinking milk at
could
that
you,
point.
Could you mix?
Nick ordered it for me.
Like,
it was nice.
Honest question here.
Yeah.
Because I always like to, like, when I'm in Mexico, I'll have, like, a pina colada in the morning.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting a little substance.
Sure.
Or, a Bloody Mary or, something that's
the
more
V8 than, juice or something is
something,
doing it for you?
Yeah, something that's more than just Corona, right?
Yeah.
My question here is, have you tried to mix, like, some sort of rum or something with milk?
Never.
I wonder if you could do that.
Never. It's kind of like
I wonder if that would work, though.
A milk-based drink or something that's kind of like that, like a White Russian or something. I haven't. It's kind of like, why mess with a good thing? It's just...
Because you could make a good thing even better.
I don't think you can make milk better. My ears just go in and out on this.
Yeah, you're fine. Don't worry about it.
Sounds like you ever get a head cold where it just seems like suddenly you're like, I can't hear myself.
Yeah, I will say this. The Team Cyclone Fanatic's going to need to upgrade podcast equipment here at some point.
I hope you guys do. You're growing in so many ways except the soundboards that we use.
The soundboards have stayed the same forever. It's but they're fine. Like, it's really good equipment. It's just these – I think it's the headphones, to be honest with you.
So Vegas was good. Vegas was good. the clones came through. I lost that bet, by the way. I won the Cyclone bet, but we've talked about parlays a lot on this show.
I hate parlays. I can't do it.
You know, they're hard to resist. The payouts are yummy, and I did win a parlay.
What did it pay out? It was a four-teamer, you said?
Well, the one I lost, by the way, I took Iowa State plus 10.5, and then I took Ohio State minus 3.5.
Oh, the Penn State
game. Penn State.
Yeah.
And they pooped it down their legs. They won, obviously, but didn't cover, so I lost that one.
Those are the worst when you feel like you had the right read.
Yeah.
And you still lose.
Yeah. On the four-teamer, that was an NFL parlay.
Oh, nice, nice.
And I had taken...
That's hard to do.
I had taken Green Bay money line. I took somebody else. So another team money line. Then I took the... I took Detroit Lions. They were playing at the Cowboys that day. I took them plus three. They lost by two. And the last game was the Bears minus something over the Bucks. And that was the game they won like 49-3 or something. Just absolutely killed them.
It's too bad you weren't out there last week, because I really would have recommended Iowa State money line. I think a lot of people thought that they were – people around the program thought that they were really close to kind of having a breakout.
Yeah.
And that's clearly what they did. But, man – I think it went off the board at like plus 300 or something like that.
I would have had no problem taking that. I think, was it Reese Davis that said they're going to win
that
game?
Yeah, Reese Davis picked them. Yeah. Like half of our writers did. I didn't go that far just because I'm kind of turning into a prove it to me type of guy.
Yeah.
And I needed to see the offense.
A skeptic.
Yeah, I have become
a curmudgeon.
More.
A curmudgeon.
Perhaps. Okay. I've become more skeptical over the last few years, and I think that that's a good thing in my line of work.
That's what happens when you're an Iowa State fan.
Yeah, and you do talk radio every day, and you just overanalyze everything all the time.
Yeah.
And you start to just naturally become more skeptical, yeah. I think. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. By the way, the it's an unknown countdown, but the countdown for you joining us in Vegas next year started.
So did we get the – we don't have
we
the
don't,
Iowa
we
State
don't,
schedule.
We don't have the schedule.
Yet.
We need to know when the bye week's going to be.
I'll make a verbal commitment. I'm not signing the letter of intent. I've verbally committed to going.
You know who else has made a verbal commitment for next year is Adam Gray. So we could have a podcast reunion. It could be.
Adam Gray doesn't even live here anymore.
I know, but he says he's in. So, he is a liar. So this could just be another lie, but
I hate to admit this, but
says he's in.
I actually miss him.
Oh, that sucks, dude. There's no reason to miss him.
Well, he's been in Italy, and I actually reached out to him to see about going to a potentially Braves playoff game.
Yeah.
But they only had the one guaranteed game, and it wasn't ever going to work out.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a bucket list thing for me, is to like just jump on a flight and go to a game and come back.
Gray was actually texting us pictures of him eating breakfast in Italy while we were in Vegas.
Oh, nice.
So he was keeping us informed of what was going on.
He was keeping score, basically.
He was.
Oh, you guys are in Vegas. I'm in Italy.
He was.
F off.
But, yeah, having both of you in Vegas, that would be nice. That'd be nice.
I really want to do it. I think it sounds like a lot of fun.
A member,
it's right in my wheelhouse.
You know Liebel. Liebel is there.
I do know Liebel.
He's there now for a work thing. But he said he ran into Musburger.
Oh, really?
Yesterday.
Cool.
Talking to Brent and at the South Point Casino. That's, I think, where he holds court and does his daily show about gambling and all of that. So, apparently, we're in now. We're in now with Musburger. So,
we're in with Mus.
Apparently, next time we go out.
Uncle
hey,
Brett.
Yeah, that'd be – it's he'd be an interesting dude to hear some stories from.
Yeah.
I think.
You're not kidding around. He's one of the more fascinating sports guys, and especially, like, not even the gambling thing. Brett's a guy who's just fascinating in general how his career lasted. Like, he was so up and down, and, like, you know, like, when he, like, should have been in his prime, they stuck him on, like, NASCAR Nationwide Series pre-race shows and, like.
Definitely non-PC.
But what he did, though, like, he just, you know, he showed up to work, and he worked hard, and he always earned his way back. It was a really cool thing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's certain voices you miss. Keith Jackson in football, yeah. and Musburger, oh, yeah. And several of those guys.
You know who I like, and nobody else likes him. Everybody hates him, is Berman. I liked Berman growing up.
Calling what, though? What sport?
The studio shows. Not necessarily calling. I loved that show, NFL Primetime.
It's just that he was so over the top that it turned some people off.
Yeah, but people like Gus Johnson.
Yeah, but I think there's a difference between liking someone that's excitable in the moment of a game, because it ups the game experience, versus calling studio highlights.
Do you not miss NFL Primetime with Berman?
No.
Man,
Berman
I
and
do.
Keith Jackson?
Yeah, man. Tom Jackson.
Tom Jackson, yeah. Yeah.
Back. I loved Berman.
No, he just stretched the nicknames too much. Yeah, you know, I didn't. I don't know. He tried too hard at times.
Trust me, I am in the minority here.
You are. I will agree with you.
People hate Berman, but I've always been a Berman guy. Another one who I always really liked, and a lot of people didn't, was Gruden. I miss Gruden on Monday nights.
Yeah.
I would tune into Monday nights just to listen to Gruden.
Yeah. Well, for educational purposes, like you liked his take on...
That and his delivery was so entertaining to me.
Yeah.
It was so, like, authentic ball coach.
Do you think he made a mistake going back to coaching? Not monetarily, of course, but you think he's going to get it figured out there? Be good?
No.
You don't?
I don't think he will.
He's not worth $100 mil?
No. Do you?
Not so far.
I mean, I hope he does because I'm a big fan of his.
Obviously.
General, but I don't see it working
I don't
out.
Think this was completely his fault. But obviously, he starts the job and immediately loses the best defender in the league. And it doesn't look good.
No.
You know, as a Bears fan, I'm ecstatic about having Khalil Mack on the team. That I hadn't focused on him before because he was a Raider.
Yeah.
But now that I'm watching him, that dude is legit.
He's really freaking good.
Yeah. Unbelievably good.
That as a Vikings fan, I said this on the air the day after you guys got him, was this one concerns me only in the sense the Bears are a team that we're supposed to beat twice.
Yeah.
And then you throw him against our crap offensive line.
Yeah.
And that's like all of a sudden a game I worry about. And I think that's coming to fruition here the longer the season goes on.
Were you happy to see a kicker have a worse day than a Viking kicker the other day? Mason Crosby goes 1 for 5.
What is it about, like, really good players can put on a purple jersey and everything that they've done just means nothing?
You know what's funny?
It doesn't matter who, like, you know, like... Name the greatest kickers in NFL history. Put them in a purple jersey. And
Morton Anderson.
Suck. Morton Anderson would suck if he played for the Vikings.
Dan Bailey
sucks now that he plays for the Vikings, although he hit the clutch kick at the end.
Yeah. What's humorous to me is how you when you get to know people, you do connect them to their teams. So every time I see the Vikings screw something up royally, I immediately think of you, dude. And then I want to text you and be like, oh, man, you see that missed kick?
You and everybody else.
That was terrible.
See, that's why like, if the Vikings are on and I can't watch it live, I have to put away my phone because I have so many guys who make fun of me with the Vikings.
Yeah.
And you're now part of that group.
I'm in a weird position, though, this year because I've never had this before. I usually try to avoid rivals of my team, the Bears, but I'm in one fantasy league. It's two quarterbacks, and one of them is Kirk Cousins. So I find myself somewhat rooting for them.
Yeah, and we play the Cardinals. That's a good play this weekend is Kirk Cousins.
Lighten them up.
Although I could see them like try be like, oh, we should win this game. Let's try and figure out a running game.
Do you think Vincey out of our group here says this all the time? Coaches overthink. I think the same thing. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
You'll have a coach that does three straight runs, 15 yards each.
My guy is Bill Finley. He's my dude. I love him like family. And I've actually talked to him about this before. He totally admits it. He's like, yeah, I mean, we sit around and our job is for, you know, 60, 70 hours a week. We're watching the same film over and over. We're thinking about the same thing over and over. Absolutely that from time to time we'll overthink something. I think Campbell did that at the Iowa game this year.
In what way?
Well, I think that they looked at, you know, like their interior line and Iowa's interior line, and they had David Montgomery, and I think that he thought that they could do things, and they were stubborn with it. And had he just gone in with the conventional game plan, I think Iowa State probably would have won that game.
But in your mind, what is that game plan? Obviously,
what they did the first series,
the ball,
the dinks and dunks, the, you know,
screen passes, whatever.
And I think that if Zeb starts that game, they probably win too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, that's real easy for me to sit here and say a month after.
It always is.
You know, and Campbell looks like a genius right now. So, like, everybody was killing him a week ago, and now he's the best coach in the country again. So, it's just, you know, it's – you know how it goes. Did you listen to my interview with him this week?
I have not. Nope.
That's how I led the interview with him. I said, well, I'm glad that you didn't forget how to coach.
How did that go over?
He just laughed.
Yeah.
He understands me. So you'll appreciate this. He had been talking up Purdy to me for a really long time. They all had. Like, it wasn't a secret. Like, the coaches loved this kid.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know he was going to play.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he would play some on Saturday. I didn't know he would play the whole game.
Well, I don't think that was the plan, right?
No, he went in and kicked ass.
Get him a series and see what happens. Yeah.
And I just texted Matt right after the game, and I just wrote decent. Like, that was all I said to him. I didn't say, like, good win or anything. Yeah, I said decent.
Yeah.
And he wrote back, he said, maybe at some point you'll start listening to me. So, the only reason I say that is to tell you the type of relationship we have where, like, he'll tell me, like, stuff all the time, like, and I'll just, like, nah, because I think that I'm smarter than he is.
Yeah.
Which is the great downfall of most sports talk radio men.
Because you're best friends, what are our odds now of, you know, I was thinking, you know, you don't want to distract, you don't want to distract the coach, but at least after the season, getting coach on for another,
he'll do it.
Another recap.
He did tell me last week on Monday night that he thought, this is what he was referring to.
Yeah.
That he thought that the offense was just a play or two away from having a breakout game. He's like, we're right there.
Yeah.
We are right there. It wasn't referring to Purdy. It wasn't anything. He said, I'm watching it. We're right there. People just don't see it. I promise you.
So,
and he was right.
Let me,
he was right.
Let's get controversial here for a second. I think that, it's coach speak. It has to do with, Kyle being a captain. There's a lot of things that go into this, right? Purdy comes out and lights it up. We hope that he continues that, and hopefully he's the future for Iowa State. I think everyone's on board with that. Campbell comes out in his quotes and basically makes it sound like, well, you know, we're going to go with Brock. He's going to start, but we're doing it because of the injury status of Kemp. Now, I think Iowa State fans in general are thinking, what? You know, you're going to derail the momentum to go with a guy that's been out for 5 weeks?
I don't know. I didn't ask him about that because I guarantee you it's just a deal of messing with West Virginia. There is no way Kyle Kemp starts that game.
Yeah. Even if healthy.
If Kyle Kemp starts that game on Saturday, I'll jump out of the press box.
Yeah. So, but here's one of the questions. At some point, Kyle Kemp is healthy.
Yeah, well, Drew Bledsoe came back too, and you kept Brady in.
You know,
I
know, but you're doing it to your captain, and you're doing it. I'm just saying it can't be easy on Kemp. He's going to play the best guy.
Kemp will play again this year. Like, do you see Purdy running around?
Yeah.
I think he's not going to get dinged up at some point.
Yeah, he'll get dinged, I'm sure.
I just, like, this whole, and I know you don't read my column, so I'll just talk to you about it.
If you were a better writer, I would. So.
That's fair.
I mean, you're no Bloom. But.
I'm not Bloom. God, we all know I'm not Bloom.
I know. You're adult size. So.
You've watched enough Iowa State football over the years.
Yeah.
They're going to need another quarterback this year.
Yeah, that's what I'm told. Yeah.
For one reason or another, you better keep the bullpen warm with Zeb and Kemp.
Yeah.
And I think that if it came down to it, I still think that Kemp is probably the preferred guy as he was before the beginning of the year. Matt is just so much about, like, are you going to do what I tell you to do?
I hope he's about winning.
Yeah. Well, I mean, clearly. But he believes that what he's telling you to do will win the game. And that's a lot of what Kyle did last year. Like, they weren't scheming out there to score 50 points. It was a take the air out of the offense of the other team and let our defense do its thing. And I think Brock possesses kind of a mixture of what Zeb has and what Kyle has, where Brock's, like, really heady, and he has a good arm, better arm than Kemp, but he's a better runner than Zeb.
Yeah.
So I think that that's what makes him a really good option.
Here's a question for you. Assuming that the play calls are the same, why do you think a quarterback like Purdy goes in there and suddenly the wide receivers are more open? They're throwing the ball farther down the field.
Yeah.
What if the play calls are the same from Zeb to Brock, et cetera, what changes once that quarterback comes in to suddenly everything seems to be working?
Well, I think the change on Saturday, I've watched it three times now, is the threat of a running quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, they had to creep up. Like, they actually had to respect Iowa State's run game.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got fewer double teams with those receivers you're talking about. Brock has the, much like Zeb, Brock doesn't fear throwing it down the field. Like, Brock is cocky, and I mean that in a complimentary
way. That's good. You want that in your quarterback.
You do. And so is Zeb. Kyle's more passive.
Mm-hmm.
Brock and Zeb are both alphas. That's how I would describe them, which is what I want in a leadership position. But I think that the threat of having, because they had run that like zone read so much, but you knew the quarterback wasn't going to run it. And it wasn't Zeb's fault. I mean, Zeb's just not a running quarterback. It's not what he does.
Yeah.
You know? And then you have Brock doing it with a little pump fake and high stepping into the end zone. You have to respect it so much. I think it just opened up a lot. That's why I want Montgomery to play this weekend, because it's like, man, like imagine if there's a threat of a running quarterback and David's out there. And one other thing, the offensive line is playing considerably better than it did 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, which you knew was going to happen.
Yeah. That all kind of comes together.
They're certainly going to pull it together, at least get – yeah. Be better.
There you go. There's my analysis. What do you think?
I agree with you. The question that everyone has on their mind, of course, is what do we see Saturday night? Do we see something that looks very similar? I mean, I've watched West Virginia pretty closely now in two different games.
Yeah,
I saw
really
them
good.
Against Tech. I saw them against Kansas. They should have killed
that
Kansas.
That Tech game, from a gambling standpoint, was maddening. They covered, but
barely. Nick and I were on that in.
So was I
in Vegas.
Well, I was texting with you. Yeah, like that.
That one was crazy.
That was an absolute lock. We made the right read.
Yep.
You knock out their quarterback, and then this guy comes out of nowhere.
That's gambling, right?
That's what happened.
But I would argue that the game versus Kansas was worse. That's a game that they should have covered. Greer throws two interceptions at the goal line.
Three in the red zone, bro.
Yeah, and fumbles. Another time, so they just allowed Kansas to hang with them. So I don't look at West Virginia as world beaters. They're beatable. They're 100% beatable, especially if Brock has a good game, get the crowd fired up, etc. What is your early read on that? Iowa State is a 6.5-point dog.
Well, I would wait and see if it gets above 7.
Yeah, 6.5 is a terrible number.
Yeah, I mean. At 4, I probably wouldn't play the game. And if you do, just play it money line.
Yeah.
Is what I would do with Iowa State. What do you do here? This is where I'm fascinated by it. I feel like the offense is kind of a crapshoot. I still don't know what to expect from Iowa State's offense.
Yeah.
I know last week was great, and I hope that they carry it on, but I'm not going to, like, bank on that. What do you do defensively with Greer? And this is why I ask, because – the first half and the second half against Oklahoma were two totally different game plans.
Mm-hmm.
They were super passive, just sending 3, dropping 8 the first half. Second half, they mixed up a lot of blitzes, and they put some pressure on Kyler Murray. Then, the TCU game plan, send 3, drop 8, let this kid make mistakes, he's going to beat himself.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, they were right. However, we had a guy get strip sacked that went for a touchdown. Like, Iowa State actually outscored TCU's offense.
Yeah.
Easy to forget that. And then last week was as much pressure, and Matt pretty much confirmed it in my interview with him this week. That's as much pressure as they've ever sent on a quarterback since he's been at Iowa State, what they did with Cornelius. So now you have a guy who can kind of beat you in all areas, but he's more of a thrower now after he got hurt last year. What do you do with Will Greer? Like, are you passive? Because this is a guy who, you noted, Mark, will throw dumb interceptions. Or do you try and pressure him? I think it's really interesting to see which way they go.
He 100% throws some stupid passes. And the other thing you'll notice if you watch a West Virginia game, I don't have the exact statistic, of course, but it seems like 80% of his completions are between the hashes. They do a ton of stuff right over the middle.
Yeah,
drag routes over the middle, et cetera. And the Iowa State coaches know this information. I don't know what you do. Try to make them take deep shots and eliminate the shorter stuff under the middle. If you are over the middle, do you pressure them? I don't know.
I was doing.
You know, here's one thing we could do. We could just outscore them. I mean, that's viable too.
I did a bunch of digging on them last night, and they're having real problems with their interior offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They're on, like, their third starter in right guard.
Greer was getting pressured by Kansas.
Yeah, and I firmly believe I've watched a lot of these. Iowa State is the best defensive line in the Big 12.
They could. I mean, Texas.
I think Iowa State's better this year.
All right. I won't argue with you. I'm sure Texas is pretty good.
No, they're really good. I think I would take Iowa State's guys.
Okay.
And if you're going to tell me that the one weakness that West Virginia has right now is protecting Will Grier, I like that for Iowa State on Saturday night.
How does Iowa State pressure, though? If you're saying that's the goal to pressure, you're not doing that with three. You got to bring some other guys, too.
Yeah. That's what I don't know. Like, what's the best game plan? Is it to mix up the coverages and do that sort of thing and dink and dunk and make him go and, you know, play your bend but don't break and let Grier make a mistake, or do you pressure him into one? I don't know.
How frequently does Iowa State blitz?
Not often. The last week they did. But they don't – I mean, this year, like this team
– yeah.
Has not blitzed a lot this year.
Yeah.
Compared to, what was fat before last week? So the Clones had 7 sacks last week.
Yep.
They only had 6 in the entire season before that.
So they changed something up.
Yeah. And, the thing was, and I don't know if you, Campbell, I did the coaches show two Mondays ago.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this on the air about how that's not a bad stat, the 6 sacks. It was the lowest in the Big 12 at the time. Well, that means you're not out there trying to sack the quarterback, you're filling gaps, you know, and if your 3 guys can get there, great, but it's hard for 3 to take on 5 and get there. The whole point is to screw with the opposing quarterback. That's the whole deal. And they, for the most part, had done that. And then last week you go, this is a guy who can't run. We don't have to worry about the running guy. Now we're just going to mess up his head.
Yeah. That worked.
Not physically, mentally, of course.
Yeah.
Not mocking.
It's not Bounty Gate.
No.
After all.
So that's why I don't know what to do. I don't know what the best thing to do with Grier is. I would say it's like a mix of both.
What's interesting is that Iowa State coaches are literally making the same decision that we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
And they've got to pick a route. Now, the good thing is, in the game, you can change.
Luckily, they're smarter than us.
I hope. Yeah. We're in trouble if they're not. So, I'm excited to – well, what's the weather supposed to be like? I was going to say I'm excited to go to the game.
It's going to be like 50 degrees and nice, but it's going to be cold at night. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Football weather,
That favors us.
Do you have – are your tickets in the end zone?
We've got end zone and then sideline. It kind of depends game to game which ones we have. But, yeah, we've got a couple end zone seats. So, it's not bad having the end zone seats when it's cold.
That's what I was wondering.
Being able to go and check in. I did want to give an important update here. And I wanted to ask you what type of gambler you – I think I know the answer to this. But the important update in the Lane Danielson pool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I need to hear this. This is important.
That we mentioned from time to time. There's 10 entries in this, 10 people doing it.
Yeah. The senator.
Currently, I'm in first place by 2 games.
Nice.
In that one. So.
You're still hanging on. You were in first place 2 weeks ago.
I was tied for first.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm alone by 2 full games. So all I do is win, no matter what. 6-2.
You hear about my locks this year?
Last week. What's the updated record on that?
19-9. I'm 15-2 the last 4 weeks.
That's pretty solid, dude. I'll give you props for that. It's hard to be that good. So,
well,
do you have a system? Or are you just
Yeah, I actually have my own little thing I've got.
Do you?
I've started to really hone in on. You know, this sounds so – I was talking to you guys before we recorded. This sounds so – this will infuriate just like listeners to this. But I'm telling you, it's the truth. What drives me nuts and what is God's honest to truth is listening to, like, guys who are playing the role of analysts sometimes. They don't watch the games.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the games.
Yeah.
I think what I've done, I've never watched more football in my life than I have the last 365 days. Like, I watched film over the summer. Like, I just – it's become a hobby of mine. Like, it to study the game more than just, the numbers or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's been my thing.
Well, it's at least important to understand how something occurred, because if you look at a game the previous week and you say, they won, 38-5 or whatever the score is, they killed them. But then you really understand 21 of those points came in the last 4 minutes of the game and were junk points.
Yeah.
That matters.
Correct.
That matters. So if you have no clue how it happened, then that's problematic. I was going to ask you what type of bettor you are, though. So in Vegas, we got a guy that goes on the trip. BK, we'll call him. BK. Great guy. But he is the... he is the underdog
aficionado. The
oh, my God, dude. Yeah,
loves
the dogs. He's like, I love those free points. I love those free points. Almost to the point where you almost never see him taking a favorite. But in addition to that, he never wants to bet the games that would be considered prime time. You know, the Texas versus Oklahoma.
That's
the
fair.
Penn State, Ohio State. He always is looking for the weird ones. Like, he bet, when we were there, he bet the first half of the Buffalo something. I'm talking the university, not the Bills. Buffalo, whoever they were playing, you know, first half, thinking there's a read on that game, or he'll do, you know, Akron versus whoever. And the flip side of that is the better that's more like me when I'm out there. You just want action. You want to bet on lots of things.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fun to, like, have one game going when there's 15 being played.
That's the dumb thing to do.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, I'm the type that'll have, like, I'll have, like, 15 games at a time.
And then you're thinking, what are the odds that I could possibly win all of these or most of them?
It's not. Like, you'll have, like, one good week out of the entire year.
And if you would
say, what are you?
For the year overall?
No, what kind of guy are you?
Action, yeah. I mean, not all the games, but, you know, college football, man, especially, you know, the 11-2-30, there's just so much action going on. It's hard to ignore a lot of those picks. But clearly, if you could just focus on the games that you really love, like Iowa State, anytime they're plus 10, we talked about this on this podcast. If you're a sports bettor and you can get Iowa State plus 10, take them. I mean, obviously over that. The rest of this year, they won't have any of those games. I don't think where they're more than 10-point underdogs.
Dude, they should be favored most games the rest of the way.
Texas, they'll be a dog, but it won't be that much.
Yeah, that's the only game I think that they'll be a dog the rest of the way.
I was looking
than this week, obviously.
I was looking at the schedule. Let's get a quick revision from you on the record right now. We're 2-3. Right?
Who, the clones?
Yeah. We're 2-3.
Yeah.
I've got them winning against Kansas.
Yeah.
Texas Tech.
Uh-huh.
Incarnate Word.
You've got them beating Incarnate Word? Are you sure?
I got them beating Baylor. And I've got them beating, I think they might be West Virginia. That's 5 wins. That's 7 total. Texas would be tough. Who else am I missing? Am I missing someone else?
I'm trying to pull it up.
Oh, K-State. That's a win.
K-State is trash this year.
That's a win.
Here's a hot take. I think Kansas will beat Kansas State.
I don't even care. It doesn't matter. I don't care.
I don't think Kansas State is very good this year.
No, they're terrible.
Like, I've watched them, and, like, Snyder usually can, like, will them to, like, a couple more wins than they should. Like, they're not playing for him.
Are you willing to predict a piss pounding at the end of this season?
Yes.
Like, it won't be close. We're going to destroy them.
I am willing to predict that. Clones will be 10-point favorites in that game. The way it goes is, so we got West Virginia bye week, which comes at a good time before getting Texas Tech. I like that a lot because Texas Tech is nuts. At Kansas after that, Baylor, you're favored there. At Texas, you'll be about a 7-point underdog, maybe 10. Maybe get to 10, depending on what Texas keeps doing.
Yep.
Yeah, Kansas State and Incarnate Word. So you're looking at, like, this weekend's huge. If you win this weekend, you're looking at an 8-4 is where the schedule goes.
Yeah, which seemed not good 2 weeks ago. You know, Brock Purdy changed the attitudes of everybody.
But if you lose this weekend, then you're staring at a 7-5, 6-6 if you slip up somewhere.
But we went from this might be a disastrous season to all of a sudden a bowl looks very probable. And that happened very quickly. I don't know if you agree with that. That's the way that I read it.
Okay, say that again.
We went from this could be a disaster season. This isn't going anywhere where we thought it was going to go. We don't look good on offense. It's just nothing good is happening. To Brock Purdy comes in the game and suddenly we're talking 8 wins again.
It's just funny how people change so much after one game.
I mean, basically, go back before the Oklahoma State game. Are you thinking this is an 8-win team?
No, I thought it'd be 6 or 7.
Yeah. And now we're thinking 8, maybe.
I mean, this weekend, I think if they win this weekend, I think they're at 8-4.
Yeah.
I think that they'll win every game except Texas the rest of the way.
It can change quickly. And Texas, man, I thought Texas, again, because they opened the season with a Maryland loss, I thought, man, they aren't good again.
They're real.
But they're apparently good.
They are legit.
Yeah.
Why don't you give Ryan Grove a shout-out?
You just did. We need to have Grove on here, by the way.
We do.
Grove, come on here. Ryan Grove up in Ames.
He's a gambler.
He is, yeah.
He knows his stuff.
He also says he's in for Vegas next year, so we can get his hot Vegas takes. I think he's a Vegas Knights fan. He might want to.
He brought me a Vegas Knights shirt last year.
If the trip is late enough, he could even go to a game while we're there. So, you know, that'd be nice. But we'll have Grove on the trip next year if you need to buy or sell a house up in the Ames area.
Yeah, during the Stanley Cup last year, he brought me back a shirt.
That's nice of him. Yeah, really I saw a Vegas Knights store when I was out there. We could ask Ryan questions like, you know, if we went to a topless pool, would you go? I don't know what Ryan would say about that. You know, some guys aren't into those types of things.
Ryan would go.
Well, now he has to defend his honor. So,
I married him and his wife.
Did you?
Yeah. So I wonder, I mean, could I, like, in good faith encourage him to go to the pool? You know, because I am a minister of the Universal Life Church.
It's a look but don't touch policy. Sure. You know, I don't know. Wives are so different on this stuff.
Yeah.
Yours happens
actually,
to be sitting
if I went
right
to Vegas
to
in with these guys next year and there was a pool where there were topless women, you wouldn't care if I went to it, would you?
No.
No. See?
Oh, you're good to go now.
It's not like I'm going around grabbing their boobs.
Yeah. For the record, my wife is on the same page as Ashley. She's okay with it. It's like, you know what I like to say in life? They're just boobs.
Yeah, like
that's my motto. They're just boobs.
It all comes down to like your motives.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And if you're at this pool and like whatever, like I'm not going to.
Your motives are to get out of the 100-degree heat we're in, get you know, watch some football.
Correct.
You know, they got TVs and hang out and have fun.
Whatever.
Get some drinks.
All right, give Ryan Grove a call.
Ryan Grove, Hunziker, up in Ames. We are going to have Ryan on soon, by the way.
Yeah, let's get him down next week.
I want to hear some Ryan Grove stories.
We got the bye week next week.
That'd be a good week to do it. The other thing I was going to ask about, and I'll ask publicly, so you'll have to do it. We got to figure out a prom forecast at some point. I think the people want it. I think he'll be very uncomfortable with it.
Oh, he's not going to like it.
But I think that he needs to do it.
I mean, this is Prom's kryptonite, this podcast.
I think we could use kid gloves with him.
We'll make it work. I'm just saying, like, this is Prom's kryptonite. He's going to be very uncomfortable.
The basketball season's coming up. We can make it fun.
You know, and I love both of those guys. Finley would be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finley would fit right into this world.
The only problem is I'd have to fake like I care about women's basketball. So I don't know if I'm able to do that.
No, you just talk to him about anything.
Yeah, and I hate the Cardinals, too.
You need to get into the women's basketball. It's so much fun, man.
Oh, I just disagree.
Take the kids there.
With you, I disagree.
It's a great family atmosphere. Yeah. I got to get the kid over the Cy fear. That's the problem I got going on. Like, she's scared to death.
Yeah, she'll come around.
She refuses.
Mascot fear is a normal thing for a lot of young children.
By the way, it is a deal at our house.
Not a big deal, but have you been to Hilton recently? Did you go up to the NBA game?
No, I could not. I had family.
Hilton painted their ceiling black. Nice. Did you know this?
No.
You know, it's like wood rafters.
Yeah.
It's always been wood rafters my whole life. The entire interior of the ceiling is now black.
Are you upset about this?
It just looked weird. I assume they did it for lighting purposes, but looked weird.
No, I mean, it's the school colors now.
Yeah, it is. More black for Iowa State.
Everything's black up there.
I love it. All right, you should go so you can take your wife somewhere. She's obviously wanting you badly. I can tell from the look she's giving
you. Got to head up. I got men's basketball media day.
Oh, is that today?
Today, yeah.
Well, I know the number one question for prom. When are you going to be on the fall?
When Coach, we're hearing rumblings on the internet. Yeah, these media days are... I don't know.
not what you want them to be?
No. I compliment Iowa State with this. We get like so much access from these coaches and players up there. Like we don't really
need... need media day.
Yeah. It's a compliment to them.
Yeah.
Like I go up there and I don't even know what to ask. Cause it's like I just saw you guys.
You know what I'll give you mad props for? If you and I already understand you probably can't do this or won't do this, but when you land that Brock Purdy interview... Man,
I can't
unlock the freshman, baby.
You can't talk to the media.
Unlock the freshman.
I like the fact that
Campbell trusts you, man.
No, I understand. Well, if I were a head coach, I wouldn't let a freshman talk to the media.
Okay, how about this? Brock talks to me because I'm not in the media.
Charter exclusive.
I'm not in the media. You don't have to worry about that. That way, they're not even violating a policy.
Seems like some sort of NCAA violation.
I'm not,
big booster, Mark Charter.
Whatever.
So. Lands exclusive with prime prospect quarterback.
nothing will get the Fawcast out more into the world. People are like, what the hell is the Fawcast? No, we could have fun with Brock, but we might have to wait a year to talk to the young man. All right, I'm excited. We're going to beat West Virginia.
All right, man.
Mark it down.
Lock it up.
If you're a better, at least say take +6.5 or wait till it goes to 7.
Have a good weekend, guys.